Now, I want you to open your heart. Listen, this is one of my favorite people in the whole world. He leads ARC, and God is using him to change lives. I was at the conference, not this year, but last year, and I watched thousands of young men just raise their hands, praying in the Holy Spirit, crying out for moves of God. How many of you still believe that what's going to change the world is the church? Come on. Fire baptized and full of passion. This is my precious friend. He, like I said, he's one of my favorite people in the whole world. Remain standing. And you know how we like to welcome people at Calvary? Can we welcome Pastor Dino Rizzo to the house? Come on. Come on, let's give him a great big welcome.
Come on, praise God. Come on, let's clap our hands for Jesus. We know it's all about him, all about him, all about him. Come on, lift your voice. There is nobody like our Lord. There is nobody like our Savior. There's nobody like the one that redeemed us and helped us. Come on, he walked in when everybody else walked out. Clap your hands if you believe that in your own life. Wow. God is good. Give somebody a high five and you can be seated. I could not wait to be with you, see you. I've loved you because when I'm around your pastors, that's all they talk about is you. And so I've loved you because being around the apostle and Pastor Dawn, man, my goodness, you just fall in love with the people who they're in love with. And so I got excited this morning to wake up. How many knows it's always a good day when you wake up in Florida? Come on, somebody. Aren't you glad you're not waking up in Minnesota? Glory to God. We in Florida. Shout out to Minnesota. And so couldn't wait to be. I got excited. You know what? You know when you're like going on a vacation or you got a party at your house or there's something going on, you wake up just feeling like this is gonna be a good day. And I know for me, this church and the heart that you have for people and all the things that we've already heard about today, all the opportunities and being able to be connected. And if you're here for the first time or you just started visiting with us at Calvary, a way that you could be a part. And my goodness, I think I heard the word, there are calorie-free cookies in the foyer. I think I'm going to be a part of that right now. Double X man, like a calorie-free cookie. And so what a church that loves God, loves people, building lives. And you're known for compassion. You're known for generosity. I love a church that's known for generosity. As Pastor was talking about and giving that illustration, and you heard the different things that when you look on the website, you hear the stories of impact and all that's happening, whether it's through the Dream Center or how you're making a difference in those around us that have reduced opportunities. And it happens because of generosity. When you're able to go online or you're able to be a part of a QR code or you decide to be faithful in your tithe and offering. I'll tell you, there's something interesting when you put God first in your finances and you become consistent with that and you make it a priority. How many knows this is a God first church? And so we put God first in our time, with a time and a season of consecration and a time and a season of giving. It's amazing. So you're known. Before I got here, I knew you as a generous church. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to be known as the opposite of that. That's those stingy folk down there. And so thank God that's the reputation that you have. And I know so much of that comes right out of the heart of your pastors. And I just thank God for a church that's welcoming. When you come on property, there's welcoming and you be a part. You can kind of figure out what's going on through a QR code or all different kinds of ways. I think that's important. I was not raised in church. We were not church-going people. And I thank God for a church that welcomed me when I gave my life to Christ through outreach. So I was raised in a little community called Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Come on, if you know Dirty Myrtle, you know Dirty Myrtle. And so I was raised in Myrtle Beach and gave my life to Christ because a church did a serve. A church went outside the walls of the church and made a difference. And I came to Christ that way and I showed up at a church, didn't know nothing. Church was a maze to me. And I am so grateful that a small group of people gave me a pathway. I didn't know the next step because I wasn't raised in church. I'm grateful for a church that says, no matter where we're at in our life, no matter if you're watching online or you're at another, there's a consistency that says, there's a next step for youth. We call it a growth track. How many want to grow with God? So I wouldn't be here today if I would not have made the decision after I received Christ to take some steps in my life. begin to learn the Bible and begin to understand the values of God. And then to get in a small group. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for a small group. I think one of the greatest things about a church is where you can experience community. I say all that to encourage you that if you've never taken a step, if you've never joined a small group, you're missing out. Come on, somebody. Because church is not a spectator sport. Church is a participating opportunity for us. And I just want to say that because that's what changed my life. And so shout out to all the different ways that you can get connected here at Calvary because you're living a legacy, making a big difference. And I just love your pastors. I'll tell you what, I've gotten to know Apostle Jim and Pastor Dawn and the team here. And every time, I could listen to you preach for hours on hours. The other day, I had a little medical procedure and I binged watch a show. I'm confessing. I was binge watching a show called Andy Griffith. I spent about 8 hours in Mayberry. I just watched it on. I couldn't stop watching Barney and Opie. Anybody under 40, you're going to need to Google that. I just laid in bed. I could binge listen to your preaching and your heart and your spirit. Can we clap our hands for our apostle, our pastor? Come on, show your love. They love God. They love you. You do better than that. They love people. Honor God's word. Oh, come on. Integrity, stewardship, multipliers. Oh, thank God. We love you. We love you. We love you. And I love a church that says, let's expand. Not only do we celebrate what's happening here, but whether it's online or all the different campuses, the reason why we do more campuses, the reason why we open up new buildings, the reason why we're expanding space is because not that we love space or land or building, it's we love people. We get more space for more souls. And thank God for a church that has that at the heart of everything we do. And I get to be a part of that. I get to serve at a great church. I was raised in Myrtle Beach, but I pastored a church for 20 years in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. My wife and I, we planted that church and we're there for 20 years and relocated to Alabama, Birmingham, Alabama, and a part of a great church like this, Church of the Highlands. And my pastor, Chris Hodges and Mark Pettis, and we're like this, pastor, multiple locations. And we're expanding, seeing people baptized, seeing people get excited about God and growing as a church. And I get to lead this organization where we launch new churches. And we're launching today 12 new churches across the United States. Can you clap your hands for that? 12. And because you say yes to giving, you say yes to being faithful in the tithe, you say yes to offering, we get to say yes to a young couple that's planting a new church in Iowa, planting a new church in upstate New York. Hey, planting a new church today in Latvia, in Portugal, in Spain, because you say yes. And so I thank God for churches that are generous to us so we can start new churches. So that's happening today. And our family's doing well. I'm Italian and my wife is Cajun. Whole lot of energy going on at my house. And I used to show a picture of my family. I like to get to know you because I'm one of those guys who I want to make myself at home. I'm the kind of guy that will show up at your house whether you invited me or not. I'll show up at your house. I'll sit up on your couch. I'll get up in your refrigerator. Come on, somebody. I'm just that kind of guy. I make myself at home. And because this is such a home environment, and your pastors are so welcoming, I just want to show a picture. Only two pictures now, and it's my grandchildren. I think there's a picture of my granddaughter up there. There's my granddaughter. So that's my daughter, McCall. That's baby Harlan. That's my first grandchild, and I wish I would have had them first. Come on. And she will talk and do tricks for donuts. And so I bribe her with donuts every day. That's Harlow. And then we just had this young man, the next picture. That's little Redding, my grandson. We did a serve day. I put a serve outfit on him. I put a weed eater in his hand. Come on, we're going to make a difference in the world together. Get up out of that little crib and go help somebody. This is that kind of church. So that's our family. I've been married 36 years to my wife, Delin Monique. Delin, little Cajun. Delin Monique. Some days she's a little sweet Southern Delenn. But there's other days she's Monique. And you got to know the difference. And so I want to come alongside of what God is saying here. Of course, our worship we've experienced and prayer. And I just want to add value, really a reminder of the heart of this church. Sometimes you wonder, what are we all about? And being able to know the apostle and being able to be around and just know what you're all about. Because I believe God's doing something today in the world. And I believe God is doing something today in churches and especially this church. There's something unique about what God is doing. There's something special about this house. You could sense it with the worship team. You could sense it with your leadership. You could sense it in the values of what we're all about here. I want to talk for a few minutes about how God wants to put us on the front row of what he's doing in the world today. So I don't believe that you and I have to live on the back row of what God is doing in our marriage. The back row of what God, so many parents are on the back row of what is happening in their kids' lives. I don't want to be on the back row of what's happening with hurting humanity. I believe God has selected and put his hand on certain churches, and I believe this church is one of those churches that he's moving to the front row of what he's going to do in revival in the last days. And I want to talk about a front row life for a few minutes, and then we'll spend some time in prayer. We'll get on to our Sunday. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for what you're doing in this house. Thank you for our apostle and our pastors. And Lord, I just thank you for your heart. Lord, I thank you that we've sensed you during worship. We thank you for what's happening in kids and students. And Lord, I pray for every person that maybe is here. And Lord, we're leaning in. We need you, Lord. Lord, during our prayer of healing or our prayer of sensing you giving us hope, I pray, God, that you would help us. We love you so much in Jesus' name. And everybody said a good amen. Won't you turn to the person next to you and say, I'm glad you made it to church today. Come on, look at the other person that was your second choice and tell them, you look like you could use a lot of church, my friend. Like a lot. I want to read one of my favorite windows in the life of Christ. So when I came to Christ, I didn't know anything. Nothing. I got involved with a little church, and I thank God for a pastor who loved God's word and helped me understand God's word. He knew I didn't know anything. He pulled me aside one day when I was trying to figure out how to read my Bible because I didn't know how to read the Bible. And he shared with me that you should begin in the Gospels. And I said, what's the Gospels? How many knows that lost people don't know some of those things? Thank God for a church that will help you and welcome you and not put a stigma on you because you don't know some of those things. It's okay here to look at the table of contents. Come on. I mean, I remember being in church, they say, look at Jeremiah. Who is Jeremiah? I knew a Jeremiah growing up. The Gospels are where the New Testament, I didn't know there was an Old Testament and a New Testament. And so he helped me, he said, there's an Old Testament and a New Testament. The New Testament begins with four Gospels, not six, not eight. Four of them. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And that's where you learn about the life of Christ. It's okay if you don't know these things. That's where you get to study and you get to understand the heart and nature of God through his son, Jesus Christ. That's where we understand and embrace the life of Christ. And so I began to read the Gospels at about 19 years old, and I fell in love with the Gospels. If I have free reading times, Apostle, I'll read the Gospels. If I have a moment just to do devotions, I love these windows in the life of Christ who help me be like Jesus because there are some days I am not like Jesus. How many of you will run into some people that will test your Jesus? And there's just some days I don't respond. I know I'm the only one. There's some days I don't react well. There's some days that my mouth can get out ahead of me. That my attitude is not the best. And so I look at these windows in the life of Christ, and you know what they do? They reset me. And I remember I need to be like Jesus towards my wife. I need to be like Jesus towards these difficult people that are everywhere in my life. I need to be like Jesus on social media before I blow someone up with my words. How many knows there's some things you don't need to send? We can get in the altar now. There's just some things I don't need to send. I need to hold up on that. Hold up on that text. This is one of those windows that recenter me about life. It's in Matthew chapter 15, verse 29 through 38. I will be reading the scripture slow. I'm a slow reader of the Bible. I like going to a Mexican restaurant where there is chips and dip. I'll go for hours before I order. I like a chip, little salsa, and then I'll visit for a minute. We're going to do a little chip and dip reading of the scripture this morning. Jesus left there and went along the Sea of Galilee. The Bible later understands that he is in Decapolis. Decapolis is an area where there are 10 cities that join together. This is mostly Gentiles. These are those that don't feel welcome. This is an uncomfortable territory for the disciples. When the disciples are going away for a holiday or they're spending a few days away, they don't go there. They go somewhere else. But Jesus leads his disciples into this region, and when he gets there, he sits up on a mountainside and sits down. Not passing through, he just finds a place on the hill. And I love how the Son of God, the creator of the world, sits down. Great crowds came to him, and they were bringing something. Sounds like church right now, great crowds. And they're bringing Jesus something, not something, someone. See, when Apostle was praying for healing, how many know sometimes we come to church and we need something, but sometimes we come to church and we're bringing someone that needs something. How many's ever brought a burden to church about your child? Brought a burden to church about your mom? They're not here, but you're bringing that burden to the Lord. So they bring Jesus. Look what the Bible says, the lame, the blind, the crippled, and the mute, and many others. And they laid them at his feet, at his feet. I'm sure that shocked the disciples because normally in the Jewish custom, you were not letting a lot of Gentiles too close to you. There was a separation. And here they are bringing every type of hurt, every type of pain, every type of hurting humanity, and they are laying them at the, they don't lay them over there. They don't lay them in the next room. They lay them, hurting, broken, messed up humanity at the feet of our Savior. I don't know about you. I don't like stuff around my feet. I don't get in my car. I don't like trash around my feet. I'm checking where I'm at. I'm 61. I don't want stuff around my feet. I may fall. When you're a big man and you're 61, you don't want to fall. You want to be careful where you're at. You watch your step. They laid this humanity all at the feet of the Son of God. I love this picture of our Savior. What does he do? He healed them. Aren't you glad he's a healing Jesus? I said, aren't you glad he's a healing Jesus? I think that's a picture of a great church. Bringing the hurting. Bringing the pain, bringing the struggle. Thank God for a church that welcomes the struggle, welcomes the broken, welcomes those that are suffering, and we're believing for a healing Jesus. He healed them. Now watch what happens. The people were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled made well, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. And then they praised the God of Israel. They were introduced to the God of Israel. Many of them were Gentiles. They were far from God. But in that healing, in that mercy, in that grace, there was a transformation that took place in even those that did not know, even those that were far from God. All of a sudden, there was this encounter with the Son of God, and there's a transformation that takes place in someone's life. Isn't it amazing how you can be raised not praising God and in a matter of time because you have an encounter with forgiveness, an encounter with being born again, an encounter with grace. Next thing you know, you're praising a God that you were just introduced to. I love this scene. The Bible says it goes on for 3 days. Somebody gets healed, they go get a cousin. Somebody gets redeemed, they go find a neighbor. Somebody all of a sudden walked in blind, now they're walking out with sight, but they remember somebody else that's dealing with the pain, somebody else that's dealing with hurt. I love it when God reminds us that there's somebody else in the apartment complex. There's somebody else in the condo. There's somebody else in the dorm room. There's somebody else in our neighborhood, because what I got, I'm not holding to myself. Thank God for a church that says we've got to share what we have found with hurting, broken humanity. Go get somebody else. They became bringers. I like bringers. Be a bringer. Invite somebody to church. I'll pick you up. If you don't want to walk in by yourself, I like to sit in a certain area. I like getting there early, but I'll wait in the foyer for you. I'll sit wherever you want to sit, because I'm a bringer. I love how we bring our offerings. We bring our gifts. We lay them at the feet of Jesus. It goes on 3 days. How many knows 3 days of church is a long time? Could you imagine an apostle got up here and said, I got a word. We're going to go about 72 hours. Excuse me? Jesus called his disciples to himself and says these words, I have compassion. I have it. It's on me. It's in my possession. Do you have compassion for hurting humanity? Do you have, it's in your, I have it on me. He was, hey man, can I borrow something? I ain't got nothing on me. You got a 20, I ain't got it on me. But don't you love a friend who says, can I borrow 20? Oh, I got it on me. I got it in my possession. It's on me. God help us to be a church and a people that it's on us. Jesus says, I have compassion. Of course you do. Everybody's healed. There ain't a cold within 100 miles. We don't have a sinus drip. There ain't a sprained ankle. Everything's healed. Of course you have compassion. They've already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. It's not the end of the world. Who's ever gone on a fast and you make it? You know, I mean, you get a little woozy. Ooh. Wow, haven't eaten in 30 minutes. Whew. Apostle called a fast, and the first lunch, it's like, I better sit down. Whew. Need to go put a burger in a blender and get a protein shake, because we're drinking, not chewing. They're not dying. I do not want to send them away hungry. This is a church that says, we're not going to send you away hungry. We're not going to send you away hungry. I do not want to send them away hungry, for they will collapse on the way. I think it's interesting to me that Jesus has compassion for healing the body and helping the hurting. I was thinking about this morning. I wonder if there's a better compassion. Did it take more compassion for him to heal the lame than for him to feed the hungry? Was our Savior better in one expression than the other? It's impossible. Hebrews says Jesus Christ is the same. When you get a revelation of the sameness of Christ, that he is the same on Monday, he's the same on a bad Wednesday, he's the same on a hurting Friday, he's the same in my life as he is someone in my family that is so lost, so far from God. They look too hard from God. Really? They're too hard for God to move? I love how compassion is married with the supernatural. Because compassion for a person, can I tell you something? It takes supernatural power to be compassionate in the days that we're living right now. There is no difference in the supernatural power whether he was healing the sick or he was helping the hurting. It's all the same. We put levels on it, but if I'm passing out bread, or if I'm giving out glasses, or if I'm digging a well, or if I'm bringing somebody to church, can I tell you something? It's all a supernatural expression of our Savior. And guess what? This is that church that believes in the whole supernatural expression of God Almighty. I'll finish this story. Many of you know it. The disciples answered, where could we get enough bread in this? They're reminding Jesus of his location. This is a remote place. Look around. There's no Costco. Do you see Costco? He said, how many loaves do you have, Jesus? Seven, they replied. You got to love this. And a few small. They're small and they're a few. There's just a few and they're small. We just want to let you know, Jesus, that there's not much. So we don't even have the regular size Swedish fish. They're the minis. And the bag's half eaten. Few, small. Isn't it amazing when God puts something in front of us that we remind him of our limitations? God's given an opportunity. God says, Calvary, let's impact the world. Well, we only have one building. There are a million buildings around the world. Well, what? No. I own the cattle on a zillion hills. God says opportunity. There is hurting, hungry humanity. I want to use you to lead a small group. I want to use you to step out of isolation and to lead a team. I want to use you in your workplace. I want to use you to do a serve project in your neighborhood. I want to use you to impact that campus. I want to use you to do all that. And then we want to remind God of our limitations. And I love how the Lord does something here. He ignores their limitations. Blah, 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 blah. Just tell everybody to sit down, please. So they sit down. Then he took the seven loaves of the fish, and when he had given thanks, that's key, he broke them, he gave them to his disciples. This makes me pause because I would have not let the disciples be apart now. I would have put them in the corner and I said, just watch me. And everybody's full. You don't get to relay any blessings because of your small faith. But he gave them another chance. He says, I'm going to bless this. I'm going to take it. And I'm going to put it in your hand. And somewhere between my hand and your hand, you're going to distribute supernatural power to 15 to 20,000 people with a few small fish. And you know the rest of the story. Everybody ate. Everybody was, whoo, full. And then there were leftovers. How many knows there's plenty in God? I love everything about this story. I've read it 1,000 times, Apostle. 1,000 times. Because I believe that's what God is wanting to do in the church today. I believe that's what God is wanting to do with you in our life. There's so many things about this story. I think it's an incredible picture of high impact, change, eternal impact. I love the place that they're in. They're outside. I love the volume of people. They're everywhere. I love the rawness of the moment. The crowd is everywhere. They're bringing people. The crowd is building. It's getting more and more and more. It keeps growing. It's a little bit of organized chaos. It's like the first Jesus Fest. Just people are everywhere. There's a lot of people. A lot of things are going on. And our Savior is so calm. The disciples are organizing. They're putting out little stanchions so everybody's going down the road. They're just trying to organize everything. And they're doing it. And it goes one day, 2 days, 3 days. All these things are happening. There's just all this. And then all of a sudden, they're watching the power show up. And then with power comes compassion. I love the word compassion. I saw a new definition the other day. It's when I allow your pain in my heart. I pause and I allow what you're going through in my heart. Jesus says, I have compassion. Compassion is not an afterthought. Compassion is not like a middle school quality of God. And then there's like a university quality of God. It's like I'm in master's. I'm operating in the anointing. Let me tell you something. Compassion is anointing. It's hard to have anointing without compassion. You see all this playing out right here. And then they heal, and then there's this involvement, and there's this multiplication, and then there's this plenty. And he's letting the disciples have a backstage pass. He's letting them be in the thick of things, even though they don't want to. He's letting the disciples, even though they're indifferent about, are you sure you want me to do that? Can we really be a part of that? There's limited. I don't have a gift. I can't speak. You don't understand my background. I don't have what it takes. But he says, no. I'm going to relay my power and my more through you. I want to give you a front row seat in what I'm doing today, and I want to give you a front row seat with hurting, broken humanity. I do not want to be on the back row of what God is doing in the world today. Lord, move me as close as you can to it. And I don't want to be satisfied. Thank God for all that he's doing through our lives, but I don't know about you. I want to see more because he's been so good to me. Come on, more songs, more generation, more locations, more souls, more reaching, more serving, more loving, more caring. Put me on the front row. I grew up loving basketball like your apostle and played a little college ball, so let's just say I was a college athlete. I just call myself that. I was a college athlete. It was a little Bible college in like NAIA Division 8, Section 30, Annex 16. But I'm a college athlete. How many of those athletes know athletes? You walk in the room, if there's an athlete in the room, you're like, sup. So at the hotel this morning, there was an NFL running back there. And we knew each other. He said, the NFL running back, I'm a college athlete. We didn't have to say anything. If you're not an athlete, you don't understand any of this part of the service right now. You don't understand this part of the service. Love basketball. I was living in Baton Rouge pastoring. This was when they were the New Orleans Pelicans. And so I loved going to the Pelicans game. I'd get cheap seats. I'm a little cheap. And so I'd sit in these seats. You're so far away, you're not sure there's a game. You got to text somebody to find out the score. I'm way up in the nosebleed. And so guy in our church found out I love basketball, called me and said, hey, this is when the Hornets made the playoffs. It's a long time ago. And they were playing the Lakers. I was a Kobe fan. Come on, RIP Kobe, Black Mamba. Kobe! He says, hey, I can't go tonight. Come by and pick up my tickets. I'm going to send you and your son down there. My son's ball player, played AAU, all that kind of stuff. So I pick up my son early from school. We pick up these tickets. We leave Baton Rouge, going into New Orleans. We go across Pontchartrain. We go to the arena, and I've got those tickets in my pocket, and I normally just go into, and I'm a creature of habit, so I just go to the upper section, and I'm just walking. The tickets are still in my pocket, and the usher, and we call them in New Orleans, ushers. The usher said, hey, where are you? I said, here. She says, oh, you're not here. You need to go down lower level. For real? I went down to the next level. Walk around. Usher stops me. She says, oh, no, you're not here. You need to take the elevator to the bottom floor. Shut your mouth. There's an elevator in here? I didn't know there was an elevator. They told me about an elevator. I go down to the bottom floor. Work with me. The elevator opens. My. The goodness of God in the land of the sausage, in the land of the etouffee. They got catfish. They got jambalaya. They got sauce pecan. They got boudin on boudin on boudin down there. And it's free. Putting it in my pocket. Got to be some boudin in my pocket. They living different down there, y'all. I walk around. Finally, the lady takes me. She says, you need to go this way. I walk out, and there's a stanchion. There's a gate. Usher looks at my table. Oh, you come with me. Police looking at me like, you ain't supposed to be here. I'm going to watch you. And I walk out, and we walk out on the floor. How many knows when you go somewhere you ain't never been, you a little excited. Oh, come on, Calvary. You a little excited, so, but at this, you're trying to act like you cool. So I'm like, what's up? What's up, dog? What's up, JC? I'll see you next week. I'm on the wood. She takes me, apostle, and sits me center court on the front row. How you like me now? It changed everything. I could hear sneakers squeaking. They're athletic. They're tall. They're fast. They run by you. And if you're a basketball fan, they run by you and you smell their body odor. It's like the hallelujah chorus. Oh my God, I feel the anointing. I smell the aroma of the incense. Kobe comes out. Kobe! It's Dino! Security?
Security.
They bring you food. I'm eating. We're watching the game. My son holds the basket. Kobe is right there taking the ball out. Black Mamba. I mean, he pats my son on the head. I just watched. Game gets older. Over. I'm not leaving. I am going to be a squatter on the front row. Last ones to leave the building. We get in the car. My son falls asleep. We go back across Pontchartrain, going to Baton Rouge. And those tickets were in my pocket. And I never looked at them. I finally pull them out. $3,650 a seat. That's right. Don't act like, oh, I got that. No, you ain't got that. Face value. I had three thoughts. Number one, the man who gave me these tickets, I love him. Not like I'm going to text him, I love you, bro. I'm not going to send him like an emoji. I sent him a text, I love you. Like a text I would send my wife. I love you, heart, heart, heart. I love him this morning. That was 20 years ago. I am still his pastor. If some man of God tries to pastor that man, I will fight that man. That is my guy for the rest of my life. You my guy. I'm trying to get up in there and proselyte that man. He in my life. I'm his shepherd. Here's the second thing I realized. That seat ruined me. What a discovery. I can't go to a game now. Once you get a front row view, I don't want to see nothing from up there. Oh, I could preach right now. Once you experience grace, hey, once you bring somebody to church and they give their life to Christ, once you lead a small group and revival breaks out, once you go to an outreach, once you start being faithful in your tithe, oh, clap your hands. Once you start being faithful in your tithe, once you all of a sudden start speaking in unknown tongues, once you experience God Almighty, you don't want to go back to those bad seats again. When you bring someone to church who is lost and hurting, and they go forward for healing, it will ruin you for ever wanting to just come to church by yourself. When you invite someone to experience, you invite someone to Women on Fire. And you watch that neighbor come sit beside you. And you see her begin to weep during worship because of what she's going through. She's a single mom. He walked out 2 years ago. And she's trying to raise them babies on her own. And you bring her to that experience, and all of a sudden she senses love, gets a t-shirt, hears a message, feels value, and when she walks out of there, she says, oh, I think I can make it another day. Once you experience that, you don't want to go back to selfish, solo, all me, myself life. You lead a small group. You take a next step. You join a team. All of a sudden, somebody experiences freedom in their life. And you get to be the one who prays for them. Not the apostle. You get to be the one. You're ruined. A front row seat of grace will ruin you in the best way possible. And then the last thing you know I learned is premium view, premium price. That's a lot of money. That was a premium view. I can't watch back. Every time I go to a basketball game, I remind people, they in my seat. Somebody had to pay a premium price. I believe God is calling this church, and I speak it by the Spirit of the Lord. And I don't say this everywhere I go. I believe God has something on this church. He wants to give you a premium view in the last days, but it will take a premium price. And too often, we want a premium view with a cheap seat price. I want a good marriage. You won't pay that price? I want to see God move in my college. You won't pay that price? I want God to use me in the miraculous. You won't pay that price? Because you don't get that view. I want to see God move in my teenager's life. I don't want them to go the way of the world. I want to see my kids prophesy and be generous and be kind and be loving. You better pay a premium price. I want God to pour His Spirit out all across Florida. I'm believing God for more campuses. I want God to use me in ministry. I want God to help me as a businessman. I want God to help me as a young woman entrepreneur. I want to give millions to the kingdom of God. You ready to pay that price? Premium view, premium price. Can I have a good amen? Amen? I'll give you three handles to this and then we'll wrap up. Here's the first thing that I know something about you, because I believe with all of your heart you want to be on the front row of what God is doing. And I know God is moving this church to the front row of hurting humanity. I can tell you right now, I know that. I've been in 180-something churches in the last 42 months. I'm a part of a great church, Church of the Highlands, and I believe the same thing for it because of the generosity of that church. But there are certain churches you walk in and you sense, wow, I thank God for what they're doing locally. Praise God. I love what they're doing. There's something about this church that He is moving you to the front row of what He wants to do in these days. So I know something about you. I wrote down three things I know about you. Here's the first thing, and these are handles. Write these down. There's something about you that can help others. Oh, there's something about you that can help others. Don't you? I can't help. Oh, you can help somebody. There's waiting on somebody. There's someone waiting on you to help them. There's just something about you, where you see life. Something about your struggle. Something about your journey. Something about your pain. Something about your teenage years. Something about your freedom. Something about, there's some small group that you can lead that no one else in the whole world can lead. There's some people that you can help that nobody else can help just because of the way you're wired, the gift that's on your life for being able to raise resources. You're creative. You fix problems. You care about children. You're a teacher. There's something about the way you're a blessing to people. There's something about your personality. It's just the way you kind of... There's something about the quirkiness of your life. There's something about the way God shaped you and made you. He made you for more and He made you for mission. Quit listening to the devil and telling you, you ain't got but a few small fish in your life. You have nothing to say. Oh, yes, I do. The enemy will tell you, you can't help anybody. Oh, yes, you can. There's something about you. You can help somebody. Here's the second thing I wrote down. There's something about you where you can bless somebody. What is on your life that can bless other people? There's something. There's something you have. There's something you've been blessed with. We've been blessed to be a... Oh, there's something. You can be a blessing. You put it in circulation, you get it out of your pocket, You get out of your our own selves. There's just something about you that you can bless someone. Something about you that you can help someone. And the enemy wants to tell you, because of your battles, because of your bumps, because of your bruises, you can't bless nobody. The battles and the bumps and the bruises, because there's been healing and there's been surrender, that qualifies you to bless somebody. I know you went through pain. I know they walked out. I know they said horrible things. I know sometimes the money's not there. But there's something about you. You bless somebody. Well, I can't help everybody. Don't that be an excuse where you can't help somebody? And then I'll finish with this and we'll wrap up. There's something about you. It's on this church. You can lift others. This is a church that lifts. Lift up Christ. Lift up revival. Lift up the presence of God. Hey, lift up purpose on your life. Lift up legacy. There's something about you. You're a lifter. Hey, you're an elevator. And because God's been so good to us, you get with me. I'm not taking you to the basement. I'm going to take you up high. This is a lifting church. You sit in this worship, you about to go up a couple floors. I'm about to get a little better view. This is a lifting church. We lift up people. I believe this church has been called to lift up the voice of revival. I believe God is lifting the voice of your apostle, Pastor Dawn, because people need the supernatural and compassion. Oh, they need the supernatural, but they need some compassion too. They need a little revival and they need a little relief. They need some supernatural and they need a little serve. They need a breakthrough, and some people need a loaf of bread. Oh, you didn't hear me. They need the manifest presence of God, and they need the manifest presence of a small group who will help them parent in a crazy time. God is lifting up this voice. So, Lord, let it happen. We pastored in Baton Rouge. Now, never forget when Katrina came across the Gulf. You've gone through hurricanes here. You understand what I'm talking about. But we went through Katrina. My house was 45 minutes from New Orleans. And when that storm hit and those levees broke, we just acknowledge. We didn't celebrate. We acknowledge 20 years ago, 1,100 people lost their life across the Gulf Coast. And most of them lost it in New Orleans. And the second day when that hurricane was cleared, we opened up our church just like you would. And we fed and we gave out gas and we gave out water just like you. We prayed for people on our parking lot to get the Holy Spirit and we filled up their gas tank. Over a 9-month period as a church, we gave $4 million to relief. $4 million. And then funneled another $3 million from great ministries like yourself and Joyce Meyer and others who are compassionate people. $7 million in 9 months that we distributed. I'll never forget there were days I would wake up, there'd be 7,000 people on our property coming out of New Orleans, coming out of those floodwaters. We'd feed them, help them find their license. Didn't even know where their family was. Didn't know where grandmama was. Aunt didn't have no medicine. Lost their passport. Lost everything. We'd get them in their little tent and give them medical help and pray for them, believe God. Try to get them united to their family. A painful time in our country. We were exhausted, Apostle. 24 hours a day. I'll never forget day 11. I was there at 1 a.m. I'd sent my family up to Mississippi, and I was there just working. We were serving. We were loving. Thousands of people came through. And I'm closing up at 1 a.m. in the morning. I'm exhausted. How many's ever done so? You just go home and take a nap. I'm going to go nap for a couple hours. I got to be back here at 5 a.m. Broken humanity. Hungry. Hungry humanity. I walked out of my office and I pulled over by where we turned our parking lot, like you would do, this massive parking lot, into a distribution center. We were not a shelter, but we had other campuses. We didn't have anybody sleeping on our site, but we had 400 sleeping at our other location. We had 45 different clinics. We were helping to feed about 75 pantries. But we were a distribution site. Medical care, clothing, baby needs. They drive through all day long, coming out of New Orleans. And I went back there late at night by 1 a.m. There's a single mom with a baby in a car seat. She'd been working all day. There's a plant worker. And then there was one of our police officers. I said, listen, I'm so good. Thank you. They were cleaning up, getting ready for in the morning. About 4 hours, there's going to be more people there cleaning up. And I said, thank y'all so much. Thank you. Oh, Pastor, thank you. The single mom said, I'm going to go home and change the diaper and clean them up. I'll be back here tomorrow. Wow. The plant worker said, hey Pastor, I'm going to run, go work my 12-hour shift, but I'm going to be on back here. The police officer said, I've got a shift in the morning. Can I sleep in my car? Because I'm going to go to work. I'm going to come back here. Wow. That's supernatural. Love y'all. Goodbye. I walked out. I left. I was pulling out the car and I saw a car riding around our front building with one headlight. So that's so interesting. And I pulled out and the Holy Spirit said, they need help. Man, I've been helping all day. We're not open, we closed. I pulled down the road. How many does the Holy Spirit remind you of those prayers you prayed? Are you going to let them ride around your building? What about if I never send you another car? If you go put it that way. You ever obeyed God, man? Fine, Lord. Turned around, kind of squealed a little bit. Waved him down. Hey. I said, man, we're closing the back. Let me open the front building. You come in here and run to the restroom and get you some water. So I opened up the door. 9 people got out of that Honda Accord. Filthy. God looked at me and said, we've been in the water 9 days. We walked out of the water, found a car, and we stopped here. They walked in. The last one in was a little 2-year-old toddler. Mess all over the child. I've been to Cambodia. I've been to India. I've been all over Mozambique. I've been all over the world. Dirtiest child I've ever seen in my life. In Baton Rouge. Filthy, full diaper. The Lord said, I sent them to you as my gift. They are my gift. They are a gift from me. I felt so bad. I'm going to turn them away. They come out and say, sir, I'm so sorry. Why did you stop here? He said, someone told us that you help people. Wow. I don't know if anybody could say anything greater about a church. You're the church that helps everyone. He said, they told us you help everybody. I said, man, get in the car. I was convicted. I went back to the back. They're cleaning up. I said, excuse me, y'all, excuse me. We've got another family we need to serve. Here's what the single mom, and they said, oh, really? We were praying for one more. Thank you. I'm like, I'm going to hell. I'm not worth a dime. You now are the pastor. I'm going to hell. What's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? What is wrong with me? We loved on that family. Fueled their car, gave them an ice chest, cleaned those babies, money. They were going to Shreveport, helped them. I'll never forget when they got back into that Honda. The last one was that little toddler. I remember getting on my knees, me and that precious mom, wiping that child down with wipes. Come on, just putting desiccant all over that child. And that little toddler walked by me. He had a onesie on, had a tight diaper. How many of us ain't nothing like a tight diaper? Come on, somebody. I watched that child get up in that car, gave him a car seat. And the Holy Spirit whispered to me and said, now today, you are my church. I don't know about some of them other days, but today, God help us get on the front row of what he's doing in hurting humanity, because there are people all around us that are drowning for hope, that are hungry for the real thing, that need a hand, that need some love, that need a little bread, that need a little bit of a blessing, that need a little bit of medicine, that need some diapers, oh come on, need some formula, need a little bit of help, need some ice, need some gas. Lord, move this church to the front row of what you're doing in the world today with broken, suffering humanity. We will be those people. We will be that church. If you want that, clap your hands and believe God. Yes, Lord. I said, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'll give. Stand to your feet. I'll go. I'll help. I'll serve. Get me off the back row and move me as close as you can. Bow your heads, Father. I pray for every person. Just one moment. Apostle's going to come and move us into a ministry time. I'm just going to stick to my assignment. Two things I want to ask. Number one, if you're here today and you say, Dino, I need a fresh start, like a new beginning in Jesus. I need to start over with my life in Christ. Maybe you've never even started, but you want to start with every head bowed. If you say, Dino, I want a fresh start and I want a new beginning. In a minute, they're going to give you directions. They're going to help you with a step. They're going to help you be a part of family. They're going to help you be a part of community. Incredible. But right now, this is the prayer, and that they're going to help you move into family, which is an amazing thing as a church. But all across this room, you say, Dino, I need a fresh start or I need a new beginning in my life in Jesus Christ. If that's you, with every head bowed, every eye closed, right now, lift up your hand all across this room, in the raised seating, in the back. I need a fresh start. Come on, lift it up. I need a new beginning in Jesus. I just need a new beginning. I need a fresh start. Can we pray this prayer out loud? There's going to be ministry time, but I want to lead you in this prayer all across this room, watching online. Say, dear Jesus, I give you my life. Say these words. I believe you died, and you rose again. I confess you as my Lord, and I confess you as my Savior. Give me a new beginning.
Give me a fresh start.
Be my everything.
Be my Lord,
and be my Savior. In the name of Jesus. Now, Father, I pray for every person right now who says, I want to be on the front row of what you're doing today. Lord, I sense something right now. You're moving me to the front row of hurting humanity. There's something on my life at work. There's something in my neighborhood. There's something in the world that I'm living in. You put something on me. I don't want to be on the back row anymore. I don't want to be on the back row of compromise. I don't want to be on the back row of busy. I don't want to be on the back row of ignoring. I don't want to be on the back row of my own need. Move me to the front row of what you're doing in the world. If you want that like never before and you feel that burning in your heart, lift up both hands to God and say, Lord, use me. I am available. I say yes. Yes. Lord, I say yes, and then you can ask me the question later. I say yes, and then you can give me the assignment later. I say yes, and then you can give me the duty later. I say yes, and then you can tell me the serve later. I say yes, and then you can tell me the give later. I say yes, and then you can tell me the responsibility. I say yes first, and then you can say whatever you want me to say, because I say yes to the front row. In the name of Jesus. So Lord, We just praise that old song. If you use anybody, Lord, use me. Use me in my home. Use me in my neighborhood. Use me with the addicted. Use me, Lord, with those that are trying to figure out sobriety in their life. Use me with the hungry. Use me with those that are struggling in their family. Use me with those that are trying to adjust to their mental challenge. Just, Father, use me with those that are dealing with anxiety. Use me in the expansion of the next campus. Use me in the work of the Lord. Use me in a small group. Use me on a team. Use me in my neighborhood. Use me in my apartment complex. Use me in my trailer park. Use me online. Use me with the hurting. Use me with the suffering. Use me, God. Yes. I want to be on the front row. Can we lift up both hands, Father? We surrender everything. And we thank you. Because we say yes. Now, Father, I pray a prayer over this house. Get this church in the thick of things. Put this church in the thick of the things of God. You said in the last days, you will pour out your spirit.
Thank you, Lord.
And those who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved.
Praise.
Put us in the thick of that.
Thank you, Lord.
Around the world. In Jesus' name, clap your hands if you believe that.
Somebody
Apostle.
Give the Lord a great big praise. Will you slip up your hands? If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Hey, if you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
I want the altar workers to come forward. Come on.
Take my hands, Lord,
I don't want anybody to rush. I'm going to close this out formally.
Touch my heart, Lord,
but I feel a surrender in this room. Somebody raise your hands and
you
say,
can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
If you can use anything, say it, everybody. If you,
you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
That was a word. Come on, give God praise for it. God wants to enlarge our capacity to receive. We need to be challenged in this hour, and I appreciate a message that called our church to the front row in a fresh way. And some of you here, there is so much potential in your life, and God wants to use you in real powerful ways. But as I get older, what I continually ask myself is, what am I doing that's significant for eternity? What am I doing that makes a difference for eternity? That is pressing on my heart. And I want to pastor a church in all these 10 campuses that we're front row people. Come on now. Who wants to be a front row believer? That's what I want to be. But I want you to look at me in the eyes. I was standing there on the front row. Listen closely, precious. You know, I talk to you from my heart because I love you so much. But the truth is, the Lord spoke to me and he said, you have all you need, but you will need all you have. Some of you think you need something else. No, the Lord says you have all you need. It may only be 7 loaves of bread and a few fish, but you have all you need. All you need to do is bring what you've got to Him. And if you bring it to Him, He'll anoint it and He'll make it more than enough. Hallelujah. But some of you have disqualified yourself because you don't feel like you have what you need. But I heard the Lord say, tell the whole house, you have what you need. You have all you need, but you will need all you have. Who's going to give it all to the Lord in this next season? Oh, hallelujah. Now listen, I feel like God wants to heal people today. I said that. God wants to save people today. If you have any kind of need in your life, I want you to come forward and we're going to pray with you. Our prayer team is right here. If you want to give your heart to Jesus, people are moving out right now. Come on. If you need a miracle of healing, if you want to come for somebody else, somebody give the Lord a praise as people begin to move right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on up. Come on up. Come on up. Come on up. Hallelujah. Come on, praise the Lord. This is my favorite time when we open the altars. Come on, buddy. Amen. Come right here, right over there, right over there. Come and you find an altar worker and we'll pray with you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Come on up. All right. Look at this. Praise God. Come on. Hallelujah. John and Kim, will you guys pray with that young couple right there? There they are. Glory to God. Come on up, Mom. Hallelujah. Man, God's about to meet people's needs right now. Come on up if you have a need. Glory to God. Randy and Debbie, y'all come up here and just stand here to pray with some people. All right, everyone else, slip up your hands. If you're going to be available this week, hold up your hands. I want to pray over you. Come on up, sister. Praise God. Come on up, daughter. Praise the Lord. I decree and declare that this is a word and a message that will not escape your heart. It went in your ears, but it got in your heart. And I decree and declare that our churches, every campus, all 10 of us, all the thousands of people that worship with us here and online, Lord, we are moving to the front row. And God, I sense that you're wanting to do something new in this Calvary family. And Lord, we say yes, and we glorify you, and we honor you. Now, if you received today from a powerful, powerful word, give the Lord a shout and a praise. Come on. I said people are being ministered to and prayed for, but if you receive something today, give the Lord a mighty praise. Thanks for watching the message. I'm sure this spoke to you. Here's what I want you to do. Why don't you subscribe to this YouTube channel? That way, every time there's a new message, you'll get to hear it. Also, many of you have watched this. Some of you watch on a regular basis. Why not take time and sow? You can give at calvaryfl.com. You can give on your phones, and you can be a part of helping us take this message around the world, the message of hope, the message of Jesus Christ. Can't wait to see you back here real soon.